Waiting can be difficult. Sometimes, if not impossible. Yet it's when we wait that we grow spiritually and that our faith in Jesus Christ is developed. If we all had our way, we would like to have everything go at our pace, at our speed, when we want it to happen. And we were talking, I got some more good sermon material this morning in class. In fact, I think I'm going to wait till Sunday morning to prepare messages. That's some good stuff. But we're talking about waiting and how difficult it is and how Simeon waited for the opportunity to see Jesus because God promised him that he would not die until he saw Jesus. So we're going to talk about waiting over the next 4 weeks. And we're going to talk about, hopefully, some of the challenges that we have on a different view of waiting. A lot of times when we wait, we do nothing. And let me tell you, nothing is not, it's double negative, is not the correct image for how and what we're waiting for. So we're going to be talking about some challenges that we go through. We're going to be talking about some fundamentals of how we can wait well, which I need those. I'm not a patient person. And I have told people here, I am not a patient person. And my son's mother told me God was going to teach you patience. And guess what? He's still working on it. And probably will be for a long time. So what we're going to talk about is what are we expected to do when we wait? And we're going to talk about what are we expected not to do as we wait. And I think both are good questions that give us an opportunity to explore that issue during this Advent season. So this week we're going to take a look at some biblical characters. We're going to take a look at Anna. We're going to take a look at Simeon. To show us what it means to wait. And we also talked this morning in class, Israel's still waiting for the Messiah. The Jewish nation is still waiting for the Messiah, even though the Messiah came over 2,000 years ago. But they're still waiting for him. So we're going to take a look and we're going to let Anna and Simeon show us how to wait, what it means to wait. And how we can wait during a season that will allow Jesus to come anew in our lives. This is a season where we think we've got to do everything. And when I prayed, I'm serious. And Jim hit the nail on the head this morning. You find that last box of lights a week before Christmas. And you think, I got to get these up. And if you haven't had them up for, you know, we've got people in our neighborhood, I think, that put their tree up in October. And take it down in February. And they know how to wait. So, you know, sometimes in order to wait, we have to decrease our volume of activity. We have to slow down during the Advent season to truly experience the goodness of God and what it means for God to come into our lives anew. But that's difficult with everything that's going on around us. Friday morning, we had a couple stay with us Thursday night. And Friday morning, I got up and went up to Servati's. And as I mentioned in class this morning, to get the healthy breakfast. And there was a parking lot full of cars at Kohl's on Tylersville. Now, there were two cars that weren't there. Cindy's and mine. And you know what? They won't be there next year either because... We don't do that stuff. For those that you do, that's fine. But it's difficult when we're on the go constantly to stop and wait. And we're all the same thing. Waiting's hard. How can we better focus on how to wait and how can we better focus on making the time that we wait valuable? As I mentioned, this is the first Sunday of Advent. I like the season. I've been listening to Christmas music, I told you, since November 1st on 93.3. Butch will listen to Christmas music maybe Christmas Day. And maybe Christmas Eve if he's not working. He will be listening to Christmas music, and that will probably be it for Butch. But I've been listening to it since then. I like the Christmas season. I really do enjoy it. I love Christmas. I get to see my brother. I get to see my two nieces and my nephew, which I enjoy. And they enjoy seeing us. So that's fun too. So it's a good opportunity. I enjoy winter weather Christmas Day. That's it. You know, I can't wait any longer. I want to just get rid of it. So Advent's a season of waiting and preparing Jesus to come into our lives and to come in there in a new way, come in, you know, in a refreshing way. So let's be honest. Waiting doesn't sound like much fun. And it's not. I don't know about you. I hate to wait. As I mentioned earlier, we were talking about the four elements of church growth. One of them was the presence of God in our church. The second one was prayer. The third one was wisdom. And the fourth one was patience. And I said to those people in that room, as I need someone in this room's gift of patience. And that is a gift. Because I don't have it. Does anybody have it? Maybe I can sit and talk to you and you can tell me. You do. Okay, Vicki. You would need it. You would need it. So, you know, we talk about that. So, you know, we're going to... So how many of you are excited about Christmas? You know what? You got to wait. How many of you are excited about that light lunch today? Got to wait. We've got to wait for things, whether we want to or not. So, you know, waiting can be excruciating. It can be, you know, just devastating when we have to do it. Who wants to wait for the package to arrive? I ordered some stuff the other day for a class we're going to do after the first of the year. It's supposed to be here in 3 days. It's not here. Well, I don't need it till after the first of the year, but I want it now. How many of these little folks up here you think can wait to open a package? None of them. I saw Brenda's and Phil's picture of Hank on Facebook. You know, I mean, it's going to be fun at Christmas time this year. I hope he destroys your house. But it's going to be fun, and you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to clean it up, Phil. But, huh?
Gates.
Gates everywhere. But you got to wait for that, and you got to wait to enjoy that. And it's a difficult thing to do. One of my least favorite places to be is a waiting room. I don't know who invented that place of boredom, elevator music, month-old magazines, whether it's a doctor's office. How about the Bureau of Motor Vehicles? What a joyous place to go in. A restaurant, or any number of other places where you have to wait. I think doctors ought to pay us for waiting. One of my least favorite things is to do. But when you find yourself in a waiting room, what do? Well, some people zone out. Some people read that month-old magazine. Some people play a game on their phone. Twiddle their thumbs or stay tuned to a TV station that's got a soap opera on there that you don't care about. And I don't like soap operas. I sound like Andy Rooney. But, you know, I mean, but that's what's on there, something you're not interested in. Some of us, though, the most advantageous of us, come prepared to get things done. We bring a laptop or a tablet or a Surface to do something. Some people that don't have a computer bring a pen and a pencil. They jot down things. Some people take a good book. Some of you could listen to last week's message. Oh, well. But there's a lot of things that you can do to be advantageous at that time. So we need to learn to make the most of our time. So today we have a choice. How are we going to use our time in the waiting room? Or how are we going to use our time to wait? Will you be like Simeon and Anna as they waited for the Messiah? They stayed focused, and they were focused on what they were waiting for, and they were determined and intentional about their waiting. They knew what they were waiting for. And as they waited, they actively waited. They were not idle about doing anything. So let's celebrate together today and look at how we can make the most of our time and not be hurried and not be rushed. You have some notes in your bulletin, and I would encourage you to pull those out while we take a look at this video.
I'm here for my appointment.
Go ahead and sign in.
Done everything but wad up paper and throw in the trash can. Advent's a time of waiting and preparing for Jesus to come into our lives at Christmas time and come to our into us anew, something refreshing, something different. We have worked for 11 months and 24 days. And in some cases, people have spent 11 months and 24 days getting ready for Christmas. And it's time to stop and take it easy and set back and celebrate. You've seen this, the slogan, the reason for the season. But it's time we do that. Judy mentioned something today in class about, as soon as we're finished with Christmas, what do we start talking about? Lent. And you know, and it seems like the church world is guilty of it, as the secular world sometimes, as we stop ending one thing, and we got to get something else moving. And that's not what it's all about. Advent is a time waiting. What's it mean to wait? Well, you know, the problem is we can't fix anything when you really get down to it. We can't affect any change in our lives. Roger could grow some hair, and I could color mine. But, you know, really, not much. But, you know, I mean, that there's not a lot of things we can change. We're not, you know, I mean, you stop and think about it, and you look around. If I could change things, what would they be? And then ask yourself, can you change them? And what's the answer? No. We can't affect a whole lot of change. We don't make things happen. If we did, we would have world peace. We'd have peace in this country. We wouldn't have strife. We wouldn't have 67 million people on food stamps in the last 6 years. That's 40 million more. But we wouldn't have that if we could affect change. Give me one day. And that's probably what some of us think. We're finite, and we have no impact on many things that are around us. You know, we stop and think that if I could do something, but I'm small. You know, I'm just one person. And so when you look at it that way, we're pretty limited on what we can do or what we can change or how we can impact anything. We were talking the other, I'm not sure if it was Friday night or sometime this week, we were talking about where have we lost community prayer, and that's kind of a, this is kind of a synopsis of what we're talking about, of people joining in and praying for one thing. It says in Matthew, if two or more people agree, that's not a lot of people. So if we were to, you know, if we were to do that, and we stop at Tuesday at 1 o'clock and pray, and we pray for, you know, we're trying to send out some thoughts on, you know, on what to pray about. And it's unlimited. I mean, there are so many needs in the world. And I don't want to sound like a pessimist, but there are. But there is one God, and He's a little bit bigger than the world. So as we wait this Christmas season, let's wait on Him and see what kind of impact, when we pray corporately, that God can have on a world. Because I think it is significant. We are totally dependent upon someone or some, till some, you know, something else happens. Too many buttons. We're totally dependent. We have to wait. We either do it or someone else does it before anything can ever happen. And we have to wait for that. And we get impatient. And what happens when we get impatient? We don't like to wait. Things, you know, when things are out of our control, we're just not very happy people. Because there are some people that are control freaks in this world. Anyway, I don't know why I looked at Vicki. But there's some people that have to be in total control of everything. And I know when I worked, I wanted things to go my way because I thought I had the best idea. And so when you stop and you wait for someone else to come up with an idea, they have pretty good ideas. It's difficult to wait because most of us like to be doing something all the time. We like to constantly get things going. And when we do something that's out of alignment with God, then what happens? It doesn't work. It's doomed for failure. Some of us do things out of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of the thing we're waiting on may or may not happen. Fear causes us a lot of time to make choices. And when we choose out of fear, oftentimes we make really bad decisions. Because it just seems like that's, you know, that's the natural thing to do, that we're afraid that something's going to happen, so we make a decision. And what does God say? Fear not. It's not easy to do when you've got someone like Tyson that you're thinking about, and it's hard not to fear the worst. But God told us to fear not. That takes waiting. That takes a whole heck of a lot of waiting. But that's not easy to do. So we jump in and we do things. If we don't do something, we think, who will? You know, if it's to be, it's up to me. Someone once said that, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to jump right in at the wrong time and do something even if it's wrong. Because I think if it's to be, it's up to me. So we see, and we talked about a little bit about, you know, in the Bible, and talked about Simeon and Anna, and they're waiting for the Messiah. These two people teach us something about how to wait. They were focused. And they were focused on what they were waiting for, and they chose what they were going to wait for, and we need to choose the same thing. Mark chapter 13, 30 verses, starting at verse 33 through 35 says, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. What this, that verse is saying is stay alert, be diligent, be ready, watch for the return of Jesus. And we talked about this morning. as they waited for the birth of the Messiah, we're waiting for the coming again of the Messiah. And he tells us to be patient. In Luke 2:25-38, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, thou hast let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel.' And when his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul.' To that end, the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." So Simeon was waiting for what? He was waiting to see Jesus. God had promised him. How did he see him? I think we were talking this morning. I think he saw him in the Spirit when Mary and Joseph first brought Jesus in to the temple. I think he was revealed to him spiritually. So he had a purpose in his waiting. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84, and she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at the very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak to him, to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. So these people both had a purpose. And I think that these are some things that we can learn as we look at this. Each had received a promise, whether it be Simeon or whether it was Anna. Each was waiting for something specific. The Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And he knew when he saw the Messiah, it was okay to go. He had waited patiently with a purpose. Each of us has to be ready. We wait with a purpose. And we wait with a reason. We have to know the promise. We have to be aware that Christ can come anytime. This is what we're waiting for. Jesus' promise was that he will come again. But the Bible also says no man knows when. So we need to be prepared, but we need to wait patiently for that coming, preparing our way and preparing our lives. We need to be actively waiting. We don't want to just sit around. Each person has choices, what they will or will not do during that waiting period. Make them worthwhile. Make them productive. We talked about, preparing for the second coming. And how do we do that? Well, we got to prepare ourselves first. But there's people around us that we can also help prepare. We can maybe feed them. We can maybe water that word. We can do things for them. We can give of ourselves. We can serve. As we did Friday night, serving food. There is an opportunity to prepare for people that have a need. Anna's not idle. She is in a temple every day. She fasts. She prays. She trusts in God's will that something is going to happen and something is going to take place that God has promised us. So their wait was open-minded. They didn't know when it was going to happen. It said that she lived with her husband 7 years. We don't know when he died. We don't know how old she was when he got married. But it said for another, 84 years, she fasted and served in the temple, waiting for the birth of Jesus. So they were open-minded about it. We all have choices in how we'll spend our time. Are we dedicating some of our time to God? And if so, what part of our lives are we choosing to contribute to God? What part of our lives are we choosing to contribute to His work? During the Advent season, we're going to join in the hectic and chaotic time of Christmas. Or will we stop? Choose a few things this year that we're waiting for Christmas Day to arrive, and choose a few things we're not going to do. As you stop and think about this, is this scenario our lives? We start out the holiday season with good cheer. We get together with a few friends, then we add some decorations, then we start to shop, then we add more parties, more decorations, more shopping, more, more, and more. Then we find that last box of lights, and we got to put them on the tree. So what are we going to do? Are we going to wait? Your list will be so long, and everything is so overflowing that you get out of control and you forget what the reason is for the season. And I know that because I've been there. We've all been there. Unless we consciously make an effort to stop that. So what's the challenge for our lives today? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Take one thing off your calendar this week or off the Advent season. I don't know what it'll be. I have no idea. Mine's going to be shopping for Cindy's Christmas gift. And that's coming off of her list too. But, stop and think. What can we do that we don't need to do? And we've all got something there. It's not coming to church during Advent. Don't take that off your list. Tone down the artificial stuff. All that stuff that we think we have to do, but we really don't need to do. The things that, people can get along without us for a night. Choose simpler ways to wait for that ultimate celebration of Jesus. Choose time with your family. Don't go out and look for that 55-inch TV for $150 if there's three in the store. But I used that illustration last week. That's not a big deal. Wait. Spend time enjoying the Christmas season. Wait upon the Lord to see what He has for you and what He wants from your life.